Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. I'm coming to you tonight with John Rockwell and Matt Frazier. Once again, we are bringing the Word of God. We're going to talk about some very important things about this year, things that God is saying over and over again to many men and women around the world, and we see it as significant. Gene and I were just talking before the recording, and one of the things were as watchmen and as intercessors, which she is, and many of us are, we have to pray about these things. You have to keep an eye on them and see what is being said. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, it starts bearing out truth. Now, when you have a circumstance or a situation, you seek to see, is it being said over and over again? Is it being repeated? Is it being fortified by the Lord? What is happening? And we're going to talk about some of those things tonight. I know in the area of healing, many of you know I suffered a stroke August 22nd, and I'm doing exceptionally well in the eyes of the doctors and the therapists. I'm still good for maybe 5 hours a day that I can get around, and then I start deteriorating, and particularly if I've been pushing it, and I'm known to do that. And I went to Gloria Zion to follow up. Chuck Pierce had called and given me a word when he and Dutch Sheets were in D.C. and said the guy said I was going to be restored 100%. I've had other people pray, and I got the witnesses of three, and then the witnesses of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and I go before the Lord continually. I say, okay, Lord, here's the witnesses, and I go into the courts. I'm going to talk about healing of the wounded soul and the spirit and about going into courts. I'm going to talk about some of these things tonight. I'm going to talk about the different words that are coming out about 2018 from some key spiritual leaders around the world. And what is the witness? So like Gene and I are looking at, what is the witness? How do we pray? How do we intercede? How do we stand if we don't know? So therefore, we have to research. It causes us to read and watch things that a lot of times people would not even venture into or take the time, yet we also have to, because if we're going to find the truth, you have to seek out the truth. And that's something that the kings seek out, wisdom, truth, knowledge, understanding, and that's one of the things God says we're to seek out. So we have to pay attention, number one, to him, and then see what he's saying, because when he speaks, unless it's a personal word, it's heard throughout the world. There will be those that have ears that hear, and they're going to pick up what is being said. So let's, before I pray, I want to encourage everybody to continue looking at our month of Tetzaveh and going back in and reading and praying daily during your devotionals. Add it to your devotionals. It does not hurt anything, and it adds a lot. It's one of the things, like a good friend, a friend of mine said, it won't hurt you, and it sure could help you. And this month is a very important month. It's a shifting month. It's a new beginnings month. And it's a time where we as a people are going in, and we need to look at what God is saying, why he's saying it, how he's saying it, to who he's saying it to, and how it's going to affect us. So I'm going to ask John to blow the shofar in just a moment. I want to start out reading from December 13th in the month of Kislev. It's Kislev 25. I'm going to take this all the way up to today. The word says, him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Interesting, he's got a new name. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me at my throne, even as I overcame and am set down in my Father's throne, on my Father's throne. And then today, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love their lives, not their lives, even unto death. What powerful word. What powerful word do we have? John, would you blow the shofar for our prayer?
Ah.
be to God. Thank you very much. Father, we come to you as Jehovah. We come to you as our Father. We come to you seeking after you with our whole heart. We come in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. We come, Lord God, because we can stand on Revelation 12:11. And they, being we, overcome him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and word their testimony, and they love their lives not even unto death. Lord, we have seen sacrifice in this organization where those that have sought after you, being our founding president and others, have laid down their lives mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, even unto death, to seek after you with a whole heart, to seek after what your promise is and what we're to do, how we're to stand as a people and as a nation. We need to know what to look forward to, and that's why we go to the prophets. That's why I seek out your word and seek a testimony that lines up with your word for the coming season. I do it every year, and I continually bring every month, Lord, that which the prophets are saying, because you said pay attention to the prophets. Listen to the prophets. So, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, seeking after what you have to say, seeking after your perfect way and will, that you would be glorified, and in that we will press through, that our testimony would be true, and we overcome the enemy by your precious blood and by the word of your testimony, which is our testimony. So we thank you, we praise you, we ask right now that you grant us your anointing to break the yoke of bondage, that you would bring about healing, deliverance, salvation, that you meet our needs mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, that you pour your spirit out upon us that we can stand in all that it means to be your begotten children, heirs and joint heirs, more than conquerors, above and not beneath, the first and not the last, sanctified, set aside, justified, made complete and holy unto you, that we are chosen by you before the foundation of the earth, that we would have a destiny unto you and your kingdom, and in that we would walk it out, and this becomes part of it. And we thank you. We call forth for the host to come in and camp around every one of us and show us that you would have us to do, that we can fulfill our destiny, and you receive glory in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start out with a word of encouragement, and then I'm going to bring some hard word. You know, 2017 was probably one of the most difficult years that many of us faced, physically, emotionally, financially, other areas. In the world, there were acts of terrorism and riots and the political unrest, the division that's taking place in this country and others. North Korea, with that idiot over there. Disasters in the United States, California burning up and then flooding and washing down, and many of us almost joke about it that, you know, it needs to be washed away, but it's not the land that needs to be washed away, it's the attitudes. In the midst of everything, you know, we find ourselves really looking and saying, the world's gone crazy, are we? What needs to be done right now, Father? What is it that we need to do that to get ourselves right, knowing that we're in a pivotal year? It's a year of not just new beginnings, it's an era, an entire era of new beginnings. This is a time and a season where things are shifting like we've never seen it in our lives. And some of the folks that are on this call even were involved in World War II and the Korean War, Vietnam and others, that we've seen horrible things, but we've not seen what's happening today. Our calendar this year, 2018, and the corresponding Hebrew year 5778 is the year of new beginning, going through a gate. And that gate is literally, what are the gates of our spirit and soul that have to be lifted up? I've just finished reading for the second time a book by Katie Susan. I'm going to read it a third time. We're going to teach out of it. And it's called Healing the Wounded Soul. And I want to recommend, I'm going to try to get these at a discounted rate if I can, and we'll make them available. If not, I'm going to recommend that everybody go and pick it up. You can get it on Amazon and other places. It's at a Charisma House. It's her book, Healing the Wounded Soul. And Katie was a tough character. She kind of had done it all. She was an enforcer, a drug dealer. She didn't really say she went into prostitution, but it wouldn't surprise me because everything else she was involved in. And she was a collector. She would go out and beat up. She could kick quite a few guys' rears and carried a brace of weapons with her all the time. And then God got a hold of her, and he started dealing with her. And she went into the area of healing of the wounded soul. And this is a year of the family being restored, which is going to require healing of wounded souls. We as a people have to walk into a place this year where we see what God is saying. Let's take a look at Genesis 22, 17, 18. He says, blessing I will bless you, and I will multiply. And whatever scripture relates to something such as blessing, when he says he will bless you, that means he will multiply. He will multiply your descendants. He will bring about a blessing upon your household. And you go, well, what have I got to do to get there? And one of the keys becomes we've got to possess the gates in our lives that the enemy now possess. You say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm spirit-filled. But there are wounded areas in your bloodline and in your soul that the enemy still gets you. I'm going to give you a perfect example with me. Most of you know, but I pastored in Houston at different levels, different positions, different denominations, different churches. I would go in and do what we call church fixes, get them back on their feet, help them with their finances, preach, teach until we raised up fivefold ministries and sit the church and then turn them over. And some of these were literally Bible studies that became churches. Other ones were churches that I knew or were a part of. Even on the board of some of the churches, I came back in to do work as best I could and understood as a businessman and a pastor to try to bring about a reconciliation, a healing. And many times we did it, and then it happened to me. God told me to give away my church. And that was in 2007. He says, resign your position at the medical endowment that you run, give away your church, come up to Gloria Zion, and said, I'm going to send you on a new mission. And I fought him. I didn't really want to do it. I loved my church, even though my congregation was 80% black. It was a black full gospel church that I had penetrated as a Anglo pastor with two blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids, and actually one of them's got green, one of them's got light brown eyes. My grandkids end up with blue eyes, but, you know, we didn't fit. But we didn't fit in the previous church. It was an Hispanic church as far as, you know, cut our skin or cut up our eyes or where we came from, because we came from families that were upper middle class. And God would put us in to help get them to repossess the gates that the enemy had taken. And then when I gave my church away, and I stayed 2 years longer than I was supposed to, in 2009 I finally left full-time. I stayed on to help transition. And over the next 5 years, the church, it fell. It fell down. It came apart, and then the pastor sold the property, which was against the covenants of the Constitution of the Church. And he and I remained friends. We were very close, and I had problems. And, I mean, I had issues, and I had to repent and go to the Lord and say, it's not me to judge him. You know, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with this. Well, yesterday morning, my wife and I had watched the early service at our church, and I'd been praying, and God says, I want you to go to the church that your friend is preaching at and say that you release him from the bondage you held him in. And I went, what? And he says, you've held him in bondage. And I said, Lord, I've said I forgive him. I ask forgiveness for the feelings about him. He says, yeah, but you still talk about it. and that makes you no different than those that you've dealt with. He says, when the church failed, it wounded your soul, and you've held him in bondage because of it, not knowing where he failed. And I went, no, I did not know where he failed, Lord, because I wasn't there. And he says, I'll show you today. So I went to this congregation, a small church being built, only 34 people. There was 180 in my congregation when I surrendered it to him. And he got up, and he knew I was coming. And he got up and said, I need to talk to you about something God convicted me of. He said, I had a nice congregation that was given to me. And things were going well. And now this is him speaking. He says, I was anointed. I'd pray for the sick that'd be healed. I'd pray for the finances that'd get jobs. Everything I prayed for other people would come about, but nothing came about that I prayed for my family and I. And the people kept leaving, and I couldn't understand, and it just got down to 150, and then it got down to 120, then it got down to 60, and then it got down to 30, and finally we sold the property. And he says, now I'm speaking as him again. He says, I didn't understand what I'd done wrong until the Lord showed me yesterday. This was Saturday. He had made a commitment to the Lord. And that commitment was he would fast 3 days a week for the rest of his life. Not particularly 3 days in a row, but 3 days a week for the rest of his life. He would fast. And he made a covenant with the Lord that if he would do this, God would grant him favor to overcome the works of the enemy, bring about healings, deliverances, and other things. The 2 years after I left, his parents came from Virginia, and they spent 2 weeks, and every night they went out to eat. And every day they talked about whether it was going to the next place. And he never got back into fasting. And he says, Lord, where have I failed? What have I done? He says, you broke your covenant with me. He says, what covenant did I make that you were going to fast? And he says, therefore, you became lukewarm towards me, and you brought to the altar every time you preached strange fire because you had broken covenant with me. And the man broke down and started crying. And he says, I have repented all night with tears and asked the Lord to restore me. And I've begun today, this day, fasting. And I need to ask for forgiveness. And then he preached an excellent service. I went up to him afterwards and I said, the Lord got me up this morning and told me to come to tell you this, that I am releasing you from the bondage that I've held you in by not truly forgiving you and talking about you over the failure of this church, and I need you to forgive me for doing so. Now, that was not easy for me or him. People that I had invested my life into, that I had raised up, taken through school, commissioned, ordained, had gone away. Some of them had fallen away because of the failure of the church. They had become disappointed and they got their eyes on man. And I was disappointed, but I said, all right, I kept saying, all right, Lord, I forgive him, but had I really? And the Lord showed me that I was holding him in bondage and therefore I had ought against him. And I had to ask because, I'll be honest with you, I'm not boasting anything. I'm just going to tell you facts. Since being saved and being in the ministry, we have never failed, to my knowledge, to bring tithes and offerings to the Lord. And sometimes it was challenging, but we did. And I had to ask the Lord, does that mean that my offerings and my tithes were not accepted? Because I had ought against a brother, and the Word says if you had ought against a brother before you leave your offerings at the altar, go to him and settle with him. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And I say it once again, Lord, forgive me. If I am guilty of having aught against a brother and holding him in bondage, then I'm the one that's been in bondage, and my tithes and offerings have not been truly sanctified. Forgive me and sanctify that which we have given, that you'd receive the glory. I'm telling you all this because I want you to recognize that we hold people in bondage by talking about it. We hold people in bondage by not forgiving them. We hold people in bondage by, it's called an evil eye, or you know, you look at them with us. How do I say it? You got one eye open looking at them all the time because you don't trust them. And the Lord corrected me. Now, this is a year of gates. And I said, Lord, I want to go through the gates that bring about healing in my bloodline, that bring about financial blessings, that bring about your word, that I can be set free, that my family can be set free, and all the curses are broken, and that we can walk in the blessing, because you have said this is a year of blessing. And in blessing, I will bless you. So, Lord, I have blessed, but I have not seen the blessing. I've continually been attacked nonstop for 10 years. I've had heart disease. I've had strokes. And I have confessed everything short of shooting the Pope, and I wasn't there. What is it that has held me back? Is it this? Now, I haven't heard from him yet. But at the same time, the Lord says, go possess the gates. Go possess the gates. Don't allow the enemy to hold you back this year in anything. If there's any area in your life, go in, find out what it is, seek the Lord, find out what it is, and then go close the door. So, Kata Sousa teaches on what gates has Satan closed in your life. What emotional gates through trauma and through relationships, and she has a chapter on that, has been held up by the enemy or opened by the enemy, and allow them to come in. Maybe it's friendship gates or family gates. Maybe it's the gates of finances, the gates of health and well-being. You know, if you do not close the gates to the enemy and open the gates to Holy Spirit this year, you're not going to win. So it's time that we stand and declare and decree what needs to be declared and decreed, that we could be set free and that we could walk in fullness. Now, the giftings are irrevocable from the Lord. So teaching, prayer, the thanks for other people, just like my friend experienced and my pastor friend experienced, were still there for other people from him, but not in his life. Now, we've done okay financially, but we've also had challenges. We have battled, and we have had victories, and we've had some setbacks. And at the same time, I go, all right, Lord, don't let life pass by me where I have missed an opportunity to close the door in the enemy's face and open up the door to you. You know, as I've sought direction for all of us this year, the word of the Lord for this year is his glory. For 2018, he's pouring out his glory. And it's going to require that we see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, feel it, recognize it, as never before. We're going to go into suddenlies and acceleration. We talked about acceleration about a month ago. God was saying it's a season of acceleration come upon us because we know that the year began back at the end of September, but now we're transitioning into it as the Christian church versus the Hebrew church. And we, for those of you that have the leaning, which I have, is towards a messianic church, we're blessed. We're double blessed this season because we get to have and participate in the blessings of God through the outpouring of God because it's a time and a season of acceleration. It's a time and a season of blessing. It's a time where morally, emotionally, in every area of our lives, we're going to have to walk in a different place. What we did in the past is not going to work this year. God is saying it through the prophets. He's saying it through the teachers and the pastors. He's saying that this is the season. That's the beginning of the end. You say, well, that's every season. Yeah, it is. But this is a new beginning, a new era, a new time when God is saying, this is about Isaiah 19 highway. This is about the highway of holiness. This is about where I am getting where to prepare a people and a nation to receive my glory. And to do so, I'm exposing all the filth, the perversion, everything that's been disgusting, everything that has been wrong in this nation. God is lifting up the skirts. And he says, literally, the gates are being opened up and the light is shining through. And everywhere there's darkness, it's going to be exposed. And everything that's been done to cause harm to the innocent ones, to the children and to the men and women that have been stolen away into sex slaves, and those that have had all that they've that they've earned and been stolen from, all these things are going to be exposed, and they're being exposed. We were talking about it before the call recording about everything that's being exposed right now. And the number of warrants that are being issued and the challenges. There are men and women in the government that are transferring their money, that are running and hiding. You go, where has Hillary been? Where's Bill been? Where's Biden been? Where are all these people that, you know, you haven't heard anything from for a couple weeks? Well, indictments are starting to come out, and they're all pretty concerned. And they have a right to be. God is saying, I am in the midst of transferring, and this was a word from Cindy Jacobs. She said, you know, God told her that he's transferring the wealth of the unrighteous unto the righteous. Now it's begun. It's a time in the season where he's getting ready to pour out blessings that we can't contain. Now, do I want you to be concerned? Yes, I want you to be concerned. I don't want you to be fearful. I don't want you to go running and hiding. I want you to say, Lord, is there anything in my life to keep me from getting blessed? Show me. And then listen. And then don't keep going back over and over and over again. Lay it before him and say, you know, is there, show me. Open the door that I can see and hear and know and understand. And don't be overwhelmed. God's saying, calm your spirit right now. Calm your spirit and be still and know that I am the Lord. And in that stillness, listen. Abide in me. I picked up a book, Abiding in Christ, again this morning. I haven't seen it in a while, but I picked it up. And he says, abide in me and be still and know that I'm Lord. Know that I'm God. Know that this year is the year of the season of blessings. It's the 70th anniversary of Israel. It's, you know, we've gone through 40-year cycles. We've gone through cycles of the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations. And he says, this is the season where you're going to see that which you've never seen. You're going to see angelic hosts. You're going to see a move of me in realms that people said I don't exist in. Now, Matt and myself and others and John, we've talked about new technologies. There are technologies that we're aware of that are coming out that are beyond anything imaginable. I know that several years ago we were looking at frequencies, and Tim and I, President Tim and I, were looking at healing rooms using frequencies. He got one of the pieces of equipment, and I got a hold of one for a while, and I passed it on, and Dr. Marlene has one now. And frequencies make a difference because all of our body parts, everything that is an atom, it vibrates, and it gives off a frequency, and the body's frequencies can be tuned. Healing can come about. Cancers can be destroyed. Plaque can be dissolved. We know that through ultrasound, we can break up kidney stones. Well, it can also destroy cancer cells. So all these things are going to come about in such a way that I see the great falling away that's coming is going to be because of technology, science. Men and women are going to be looking at the science rather than God. They're going to look at the creation rather than creator. And because of that, God is saying, you're going to see more and more angels because there's going to be more and more presence of me, and my blessings are going to be poured out to give the church the opportunity to recognize me. So 2018 is going to be a year of coming of age in areas that we've not seen, nor understood, or even thought about. There's going to be greater light and spiritual discernment, and there's going to be an elevation of certain people, but at the same time, there are going to be people die in the altars, you know, and pulpits. And I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to get my life cleaned up, make sure there's nothing that's holding me back. I don't want to die while I'm talking to you on the phone. I don't want to be preaching a sermon or standing in an altar or a pulpit somewhere or singing somewhere and fall dead because I'm judged. But God is saying that judgment falls on the house of God first. And he said he's going to spit out this year. This year, he's going to spit out those that have been lukewarm in the pulpits and in his house. And those that are preaching heresy, he's literally going to kill me. And the prophets are saying one of the things that I sent out to just a few the other day, Robert Clancy, a pastor, a prophet, he talked about it. He says, God visited him and said, I have blessed the lukewarm hoping that my blessings would make them love me more and want to spend time with me. But they've fallen in love with the blessings instead of me. And therefore, I'm going to remove my protection I've had on their lives, in my house, and over their families. And when they cry out to me, I will not answer. My people have run after the preachers and prophets who have lied to them and said it's all right to be lukewarm and not committed to me. But I'm saying, says the Lord, that I'm going to bring about judgment in my house, and the wicked shall be destroyed, for I take no pleasure in those who honor me with their lips but not their hearts. There was a reference from him. Actually, it wasn't from him. It was from another pastor friend that sent me this. He says, starting in 2018, he says, I'm going to remove churches. Entire churches are going to go down. Some big, some small, some in between. And then I decided, well, let's see if we can confirm it. And he found confirmation from a pastor. Let's see here. Neville Johnson out of Australia. God visited him. Said very much the same things. He says, you know, those that have lifted themselves up and not humbled themselves are not going to be alive at the end of this year, many of them. And I'm getting ready to pour out my spirit in such a way that it's going to require a greater discernment and a greater spiritual purity. And the only way you're going to get that, the only way you're going to get cleaned up, the only way you're going to walk in that is to seek after him. And he says it's going to require that you seek after him with a pure heart and that you seek after him in such a way that you recognize and line up with his word that you can be in a position to fulfill the destiny he's got for you. So recently in prayer, the word of God came to a pastor, and he says 2017 was tough. It was a transition year. But 2018 was born. You were born for a season just as this for 2018, because the thief, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So everything that I have that the enemy has tried to steal, kill, and destroy in your life, I'm going to bless this year. But you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. You know, I love that scripture. It's out of Ephesians 6:11. You're going to have to put on the whole armor of God that you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Because the season that we're in is going to require wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that I'm pouring out right now. But you've got to be able to hear me. You've got to be able to seek me. You've got to be able to understand. You've got to line up. And I'm moving forward over this next 120 days, the next 4 months, is going to see the most rapid change in this nation and in the church that has ever been experienced. You know, that's pretty strong. It's going to require transformation of not only individuals but families, and God is saying, I'm going to restore the family. I'm going to restore the family through healing of wounded, broken souls. I'm going to restore them by bringing about the revelation of holy fire. And I told John I was going to speak more on this, and I'm just going to give you a snippet. I said something earlier. Every time when God was building the tabernacle and Moses and Aaron were transitioning the Hebrew people through the desert, every time that strange fire, strange teaching, attitudes that were unbecoming to the Lord was offered at the altar, He literally destroyed them. He destroyed Aaron's sons because they brought fire when God brought fire down from heaven to burn up the altar of incense. But they brought incense that they had put on fire, like they could do it too. And God sent fire down from heaven, burned up the incense, and killed them. The sons of Korah, when they questioned who was Moses and Aaron, that they were the only ones that go into the temple, God said, separate them out. They separated them out while he's on the mountain. They built a calf. They basically, it says that they forced or pushed Aaron into building an image by building the golden calf. And then the sons of Korah were separated, and God says, all that is with them, go over there to him. And as soon as they stepped over there, God opened up the earth and swallowed them and took them down to holy fire. He burned them up. We're in that time and season where the fire of God is spreading, and it's spreading out through each and every one of us. It's going to be a light that goes forth like fire, and it's going to impact people. It's going to bring transformation to families and friends and people that you work with, and they're going to come up to you and go, what is it? What is that on you? What is this light that I see in you? And you're going to be able to talk to them about the fire of God. You're going to be able to tell them that as you go forward, we're in a season and a time on this earth where God is not going to put up with many things anymore, and everything that's been done in light and darkness is going to be brought to the light of the fire. The anointing doesn't point to us, but it empowers us. And God is saying that anointing is going to shine in you, and it's going to be like a light around you, and it's going to be like the fire of God at Pentecost. And more than ever, it's going to give us an opportunity to awaken our families, to those that are not walking where you believe they should walk, the loved ones, your children, your spouses that have walked away. And God is saying, I'm going to give you the authority, the ability, and the keys from the kingdom of heaven to open up the doors and the gates that you can bring your family in this year, and I'm going to bring about blessings. And though it might not seem like it right away, as we progress this year, he's going to show us how, and he's going to bless us. And he's going to give us the opportunity to invite others in and be a part of that blessing, because they're going to want to know, how did you pull this off? How did you do this? How did you survive when all the rest of us are losing everything? And God is saying, I'm going to put you on a path, and I'm going to light the way. And because of that, you're going to literally be like the watchman on the walls. You're going to shout when you see something happening. You're going to notify the people. You're going to say, this is what God's saying. This is what the enemy's doing. You're going to have discernment that you haven't had before. You're going to be like Joshua and Caleb. You're going to be pioneers that your eyes are not going to go dim. You're going to blaze a path into this new year, this new season, and it's going to bring about a shift for you and your family, and it's going to bring about literally a revelation knowledge in you that you've not had before. And God's going to bless you because of it. So as you go forward, as we press into this year, God is saying, this is the time, this is the season, this is when I'm going to bring about a revelation of my word, of my way, and of my will. And it's going to shake everything. It's going to shake the nation. It's going to shake your work. It's going to shake your church. It's going to shake your republic. It's going to shake everything that's going around us. You're going to see Trump do things, and he's going to sit back and laugh because God is using him, and he's going to use Trump to expose all the corruption, all the evil, and God's not going to condone it anymore. It's going to be brought into light, and even the false press is going to have to stand up and recognize the truth, and they're going to have to start reporting the truth. Nations are realigning. People that have been against us are going to be for us, and vice versa. And God is saying that, his prophetic word is being poured out, and it's going to be poured out for this season, and we are in a perfect place and a perfect time to see that which God is going to do, and it's going to be incredible. Once again, I'm going to encourage everybody, if you can, go on Amazon or go to a Christian bookstore and get the book Healing the Wounded Soul by Katie Sousa. I read very rapidly. I read the whole book in, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours I read it. And then you go back and you realize that everything that's said in here, every prayer that's in here, you're going to have to go into and you're going to have to seek after God to have him reveal to you. So when I ask God to heal my wounded soul this week for the second time, when I went in there and said, Lord, I was born again through your Holy Spirit, and in your Holy Spirit you brought me dunamis power. Now I have decreed and I have declared, and I'm thankful for that power, that it never runs out and that it causes us to be able to perform miracles, to walk in your word and your power and influence people, the nations. Everywhere we go, we can be a light. So, Lord, I put that dunamis power to work in me that I can overcome everything that's been in my soul and everything in every area of my life that's been wrong. And each and every area, I'm asking that you open the gates that need to be opened and close the gates that need to be closed. Any area in my life that the enemy has come in and I did not know or understand, where there's been bitterness, there's been unforgiveness, there's been where I have talked, where I have gossiped, where I have said things that was not right. Forgive me. Show me that I may get it right so I can get the gates open that are supposed to be open, the ancient gates that come from generations in my family, and the ancient doors that you may come in, the King of Glory may come in. And who's the King of Glory? It's the Lord God Almighty. It's one of the most powerful songs that I ever sang all the time was, who is the Lord God Almighty? Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord God Almighty. And Lord, that open the gates to my heart and my spirit and my soul that I could receive direction. So I decree in Jesus' name that I receive the shed blood. I receive the finished work of Calvary. I receive the dunamis power through the Holy Spirit. Show me what needs to be done, and he's doing it in every little way in my life. So we're going to be dealing in that in Jesus' name. We're going to be going into, there's a little book by Robert Henson. It's The Breakthrough in Prayer. And it's just a small book. I just got it. And it's a small book. It's only, it's 108 pages, but they're half pages. And then I'm still reading The Paradigm. So as we continually read the Word of God, as we search out a lot of the YouTube videos and information that's out there, as we seek the Word of God in our churches and with pastors, and we pray and look at what the prophets are saying and look at our prayer scripture every day. As we seek these things, God is going to give us more revelation, more wisdom, more discernment that we overcome. And we overcome by the word of, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, you have said through the prophets, the apostles, through the teachers, that revelation is coming this year in a mighty way that has not been seen for centuries. You're pouring your spirit out. You're sending forth angels, and they're being seen around the world. You're sending forth your word like it's never been seen. You're sending forth blessings and promises that we'll overcome. And in that, you're giving us the light of your holy fire. Not strange fire, but the light of your fire that lit the incense, the prayers of the saints, and lifted them up to you as a sweet-smelling sacrifice and offering. So as we learn that it's your way, it's your will, it's your praise, as we learn these things, help us to receive all of you that we can truly be set free, and in that we can fulfill the destiny and promise that you have for us, and then show that way to others. Shine through us, O Lord. Shine through your light and bring forth power. And do not allow us to bring any more unholy offerings to you. Strange fire, strange prayer, strange teachings, anything that does not line up, unforgiveness, bitterness, help us to overcome it, that you'd receive the glory, and we could walk in you in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I got preaching tonight. I covered a lot of things. I had hundreds of pages, three books, and two versions of the Word out. And I brought up from a lot of different resources tonight without giving names or references or reading all the scriptures. But I wanted to talk to you tonight. This season that we're going into, we got to get some things right. We got to get rid of any other sin that's in our lives. We got to continue to clean up our families, our bloodlines, and any area. Like myself this weekend, when God said to do it, I immediately got dressed, drove across town to a church that I don't ever attend, just so I could tell a man that I release him from any bondage, and I ask him to forgive me, that I may be forgiven. And, you know, I'm not boasting in myself. I'm humbling myself and saying, we're going to have to do this. We have to be clean. We have to be right. We have to seek after him to know any area that the enemy has snuck in and kept us from receiving the blessings that he wants to pour out on us. John has got, he's going to continue with a powerful word, then Matt's got some teaching, and we're going to lift up some prayer tonight. So, John Rockwell.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm going to continue the hard stuff that Wade started as well, and then I think after I bring that particular word, that I want to go ahead and take communion, because I think we need to cleanse that with the blood of Jesus and also his body. So in the next little while, if you could get your elements prepared after I bring this hard word, we'll go ahead and take communion, and then I'll got some encouraging stuff at the end that I want to bring to kind of not stay in the stuff that's hard for very long, just because it's hard. And I wrestled with this part of the week after I had heard this particular word from Jennifer Evaz. It's about Leviathan, and she really is specific on the particular attributes of this particular spirit. And I know in Glory of Zion, several weeks back, I think it was at the start of the year off right, or the head of the year, 5778, when I was there, Chuck Pierce talked about Leviathan and how we were to overtake him and actually destroy him. And so want to hold on to that. A few words before I play this piece to kind of give you some background. One from Lev Hitlin. Many of us have gone through a lot of frustration of knowing personally who we are in Christ, and a lot of people don't know that. And what our inheritance is without fully experiencing it yet, we wonder what we've done wrong, and kind of Wade was speaking to that. Nothing is wrong. We're in the period of promise when we know that we have been given, but we're growing in maturity and being able to handle responsibility. So as we grow, we can handle more things. If God gave us all the inheritance up front, we would be like a 10-year-old with car keys, but we wouldn't know what to do with that car. So he gives it to us in little steps and little pieces. And I think it is the same thing with the trials that we have in our life as well, that he gives those little things. And I know when I heard this piece about Leviathan, I thought, oh, wow, this is a heavy thing. But the Spirit moved and said, you need to bring this particular teaching to the body, because this is an issue that needs to be dealt with and needs to be destroyed, as Chuck Pierce said back in September. And we all know about Leviathan. Job 41 says, I can draw you out, Leviathan, with a hook, or a snare by his tongue, with a line which you are lower. And also Isaiah talks about it as well. In the day of the Lord, he will serve a sword great strong and will punish Leviathan, the fleeting serpent. Leviathan is a twisted serpent, and he will slay that reptile in the sea. And that's what he is. He's twisted. He twists words, and he causes people to think things that are not true. And that's kind of what Jennifer Eboz is talking about. So let's listen to her, and then after she is done with her teaching, then we'll go ahead and take communion.
I've been on this journey lately about dealing with the spirit of Leviathan. I think if there's one thing that I have dealt with more than anything in the last, let's say, year and a half, would be this actual spirit. And I'm kind of getting to the tail end of it. I feel like, a lot of times I learn things through experience, and maybe the Lord just allows it so that I can learn and I can actually present something to you with some, you know, level of authority, because I've actually walked it out. But I've been dealing with this, I would say, for a good year and a half, and I'm not going to get into all the details, obviously, but I have learned some things about this. So let's talk a little bit more about the spirit of Leviathan. Well, it is an actual spirit. We see it referenced in the book of Job. It's, referenced as the king of what? Pride. King of pride. Okay, so when you think of pride, think Leviathan. Okay, Leviathan, pride, Leviathan. And we see some characteristics of this spirit, you know, talks about it, references, it's referred to as a water serpent. It's referred to as a fleeing serpent. Some categorize it as like a crocodile type spirit. That's like your closest Hebrew equivalent, you know, to describe this kind of spirit, okay, as like a crocodile. It's multi-headed, it's double-headed. And so we begin to learn about its nature, you know, that it's double-headed. In other words, it creates confusion, it lies, it says one thing and then turns around and says another thing, you know, that it's a water serpent. So it likes to hang around where the water is, where the Holy Spirit and the river is flowing. And it's like a crocodile, likes to latch onto you and drag you under the water and thrash you until you're tired. It has those kind of attributes. But what I am really focusing on right now is focusing on helping people to not align to it. And I've been taking all of our intercessors through this. This is kind of where we're at right now. We're actually making some declarations, but I'm really more focusing on the heart, because a lot of times if we have things in our heart that give an open door to demonic spirits to control us, then this is where we get in trouble. This is where, you know, not only do we get in trouble, but we create trouble for others. And the thing about pride is that once you have been inflated with pride, you just can't see it. Nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can tell you good counsel. Nobody can tell you, the way you're thinking is off. It's not, you know, godly thinking. Nobody can tell you a single thing. And that's because pride has invaded your world. You've aligned to pride, and now you're your own, you know, you're your own counsel. And so even though the Bible says there's safety in counsel, you know, that doesn't mean we all have to agree on everything, but there is safety in counsel. And I always know when you can't tell somebody anything anymore, that pride has infested them, and they are now on the grounds of, you know, being swept away by the Leviathan spirit. And so I've been taking people through some symptoms, and I want you to hear me, and this might be a little tough for you, and it's been tough for some of us, and we've decided in our prayer groups, at least, that we're going to be completely and thoroughly honest. You know, that if any of these symptoms are in our lives, we're going to be completely and thoroughly honest, because we believe it's a season that, you know, if the Leviathan spirit is in the vicinity, is looking and is on the prowl, if we have one little hook in us, it'll take you, and you turn, literally, I've seen this, you know, over and over, you turn into a different person, and nobody can tell you anything otherwise. And it's really sad when that happens, because then people begin to spin out, and then we lose them. But here are the symptoms, okay? And I get this out of this book by Debbie Berteau, and it's called, I have little sticky notes on here, and I'm going to take it off so you can see the book. Back to the Altar. It might look reverse on your screen, but it's called Back to the Altar by Debbie Berteau. And the symptoms are this, okay? Are you ready? Because you got to get honest. You got to get honest. You got to go confess this to somebody. Maybe you can confess it on here. You know, arrogance and haughtiness, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, resistant to God's will, a condescending, critical attitude towards others, bragging and self-promotion, unable to receive correction and instruction, inability to admit wrong or say I'm sorry, will make excuses and shift blame. Hold up now, I got about 10 more. Will not take responsibility for their actions, makes comparisons with others, keeps secrets and lacks transparency, is an interrupter, controls conversations, talks about themselves all the time, not a good listener, needs to be important, tries to be noticed, oversensitive. Come on, ladies, don't we struggle with that, oversensitivity? Defensive, argumentative, harsh spirit, demands their way, and refuses advice. Okay? So, and again, I've been confessing my pieces of this to my prayer teams and saying, okay, this is me, and this is me, you know? And you've got to get really, really honest. Really honest, okay, because I'm telling you that the minute a situation comes your way and you don't like it or it challenges you or it hits an insecurity button, sometimes we puff up with pride to protect ourselves, and then what happens is we enter into what I call God's resistance, because it's a spiritual law that God resists the proud. He's not being mean. He's not trying to make a point of it. It's just the law. It's a spiritual law. You can't get away from that spiritual law. And all of a sudden you encounter resistance. All of a sudden things aren't going right for you. They aren't going well for you. Well, we've got to look back and say, okay, where have I exhibited pride? Where was I not teachable? Where was I making comparison? Where was I keeping secrets? You know, where have I been self-righteous or condescending and critical? That's a big one for a lot of people. You know, we look down at people. We have little internal conversation with ourselves. Some of us just flat out slander them. You know, demanding our own way. We won't take any advice at all. We won't even hear it. You know, and so we have to repent of it. We have to renounce it. And then we have to cast the spirit of pride out. You can do that right on your own. Or I prefer to do it with a prayer friend. You know, because I think it's more effective, it's more accountable. And then what happens then is you remove the grounds inside of you for the spirit of Leviathan to get its hook into you. And what it says in Book of Job is that it actually, it goes so deeply inside of you that the Lord has to take a deep hook to hook it out and pull it out. It's almost like it's really, you know, difficult to get that out of you once it's really deep set into you, okay? And you don't want to be the person that damages people in pride, the person who can't be taught anything because of pride, the person who's resisted by God because of pride. And humility is the way to go, because the Lord wants to promote you, and he wants humble people in high places, and so he's looking for humble ones. And so this is a way, you know, we really learn to trust the Lord when we're in situations where we feel like we're not getting honored properly, or people are not treating us right. This is where we can learn to just be humble and pray for them and trust that the Lord will promote us, because he's looking at the heart. He's looking at our reactions. He's looking how we respond to people, especially in unfair situations. And he's looking to exalt the humble. He's not looking to exalt the proud. And so a lot of times we miss promotion because we haven't dealt with the pride in our life, even though it feels good. It feels powering. I feel stronger when I'm self-righteous, you know, or I'm looking down a little bit at other people. But that's not something the Lord promotes, and we end up getting stuck.
Well, hopefully that is I would recommend probably going back to our website and downloading this particular prayer call and listen to that several times, because she packed a lot of information in that 8 minutes. I think this is a key, and Wade kind of touched on it. I don't know if he has anything to say or not about this, but I just think this is, when I first heard it, it struck me that it's something that the body of Christ needs to work on, and I know I need to work on a few of those things as well. Again, she was talking about being honest with yourself and with God about those things. So just to kind of digest that for a bit as we go into a prayer now, into our communion time, that Jehovah, just let us be honest with ourselves that we want this particular spirit to be removed from us, because it's the time that we're in, the season that we're in, we don't need to be struggling with this, and we need to be free of it, because it is a damaging spirit, a controlling spirit. And as Jennifer was saying, it doesn't want to be taught, or it doesn't want to be told what to do, and just to make sure that we're humble and just to free us of that, and let us remember your son, because your son and his sacrifice, his blood and his body took away all that. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with it, because we do, but his sacrifice was complete on the cross. He took away all that from us and just cleanses us from the sins that are in our lives, the judgments and the self-centeredness, etc., that we can be free of that, and we can continue to depend on you and your spirit and your son and the Holy Spirit. They're all within us, and just we thank you and praise you for that as we continue to serve you. And I'll go ahead and take Christ's body. And Lord, as we continue, let us remember what the blood, his shed blood, represents to us, that continually cleanses us from this, our sins. And we need to continue to remember that, to where we can always be cleansed of the sins, because this particular season that we're in is a season of exposure. And it's a season of getting rid of, it's a season of washing and cleansing, as only Jesus' blood can do. And we just thank you for that blood, and we thank you for that sacrifice and your son, Jesus. And go ahead and partake of the blood. Thank you, thank you. Amen to that.
Amen.
Now, one thing that Wade touched on, what he had to say, were the doors. And I had a dream late last week that there was a door. It was a door of wood, and I am not going to get the terminology right, because I'm not a carpenter, but it was a type of door that had the tongues and grooves. It was very tight, but it began to open, and it was huge. And it was opening very slowly, but when I woke up, or the dream ended, it wasn't open fully. And I believe that is the blessings that we're talking about this year being the open door, that those are starting to open up. And once those open up fully, then those blessings will flow. That's just a simple interpretation that I think that it means, but those doors are beginning to open up in this season, even though there's a lot of ugliness still continuing to come out, and it's going to continue for the next little bit of time. Because I know Chuck Pierce talked about a year ago or thereabouts that it was going to be going on until the month of February this year. So we're still, you know, a good month and a half away from that. So it's going to continue to clean the ugliness out of the atmosphere and out of this country and out of the world. So just to kind of keep that in mind. And now I kind of want to lighten things up again with some good words. I have a whole bunch of them, so hopefully this will kind of boost your spirits up just a bit. From Lana Vassar, it came out, I think a day or two ago. She says that things that are clouded are beginning to come clear. The breakthrough of God is breaking through the cloud, and the things that have attempted to hinder you, your vision and direction, now watch and see the sunny day of breakthrough and clarity is being released upon you. Now you will know why the enemy fought you so hard and he hindered your vision. So that's a huge word, that when things are starting to clear up, that you'll be able to see clearly. And again, Lana was saying that the Lord is showing her freedom and blessing coming to the family lines this year in 2018, which kind of goes along the same word she had before. And Steve Schultz, he's the one that heads up the Elijah's list, he had a word that came out. He says, you're virtually guaranteed to be prosperous in 2018, and he's got four different things he said that you can do to be prosperous. Number one is give, and it will be given to you. And number two, honor your father and your mother. Number three, judge not that you will not be judged. And this one is very huge. The last one that he said, praise God in all things, even through the things that go bad. God loves gratitude. So you want to keep that in mind as well as the days go on. Daniel Dixon said 2018 will be a year of doors of opportunity. They'll be opened to supernatural financial increase. The treasuries that have been hidden in darkness and secret riches, they'll be released in this year. And Doug Addison said, I heard the Lord say, get ready for promotions and things are going to start happening quickly this year. I am the Lord, and it is time that I will do things swiftly. That's in Isaiah 60. Get ready for sudden acceleration of spiritual seasons is now changing. Many people have gone through difficult times, but better times are now coming. Again, Lana Vosser says, I saw the Lord roaring over the injustices and suddenlies and tipping the point of taking place. The cycles of injustice that many have seen faced, you've been facing were suddenly put to a stop. They were suddenly halted, and they were suddenly ended with new cycles of restoration, repayment, blessing, and acceleration was being activated. JoJo Johnson says, the Lord says the transition from last year to 2018 was a John 10:10 transition. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Kingdom-minded individuals' character and integrity will be challenged, but this season of intense warfare is about to be over. The attacks will not stop, but this outpouring will override any attack. The ones who remain strong will benefit from the attacks in 2018. Ephesians 6:1 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wisdom of God is far above the wiles and schemes the enemy has planned. And finally, Chuck Pierce had a good word saying, I'm shaking you out of discouragement of the last season and causing discouragement to fall. I'm shaking you out of your delusions of what didn't happen, because I'm getting ready to send you to people, places, and dimensions of understanding that you have not known. So anyway, I'm hoping that that's brought you up a bit, and I'm going to go ahead and yield back to Wade if he has any further comments.
John, the only thing I can say is ouch. We, as I said earlier, it's a season of examining. We've got to examine ourselves so that we can find what doors have been opened to the enemy and let Leviathan and others in. And hidden, secret, sneaky ones. Any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any fault finding, judging on our side, and there's going to be some ouch moments from what John just brought. Yet in the repenting of them, we get the victory and get set free, and we'll be able to process and go forward this season. I said it at the end of last year, and I've said it for years. This is the time, this is the season that we have to be attuned to the Spirit of God. We have to hear what He's saying. He says, stop, you stop, go, you go. When I got up Sunday morning, I wasn't planning on going to that church, but God said, go do it. And it was the exact perfect time because that gentleman, the Lord had dealt with him, and he had to deal with some things. And therefore, God was dealing with me. And I'm not saying anything about myself other than that I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to hear for all of us. And as we move forward, we're going to make some changes in our format slightly. And I'll talk about that a little bit after Matt. So Matt's going to bring a word, and we're going to talk about how we're going to shift after that into this season. Matt Friedzer.
Thanks, Wade. You know, there's been a lot of stuff said already, so I'm going to try to just condense it. And I have up here on the heading of my message, The Narrow Path, 2018. And, you know, the Lord's really had me in Exodus 17 quite a bit lately, looking at Moses, looking at this path. And some of the stuff I'm going to talk about is going to tie into what's already been said. It's interesting, you know, after Moses had this great victory with standing before the rock of Horeb and the Lord standing there in his presence, you know, immediately there was a transition. You know, the rock of Horeb, which is located in Rephidim, it was a stopping place for the Israelites on their way from Egypt. It's situated between the wilderness of Sin and the wilderness of Sinai. And according to one theory, these two mountains are of the same range. It's amazing that the Lord took them through a narrow divide of the same range. Instead of taking them directly to the Mount of Sinai, they were 38 days from the Exodus to get to this particular point. And that particular wilderness was called Massa or Meribah because of their complaining, because of all those things that John talked about. There was pride. There was confusion. There were all these things that came into the Israelites that caused them to just grumble and tempt the Lord. You know, they spent 40 days in that wilderness traveling before they reached Sinai. All that time, the Lord was trying to lead them into something greater. You know, they had an opportunity to reach that greater role and authority. Yet along the way, they failed. When the adversary came, they grumbled, they complained. And you know, the book of James always tells us to consider it pure joy when we face trials and testing, because it produces perseverance. And we should let perseverance finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I think that's what God was doing with the Israelites. I think that is a lot of what we all went through in 2017. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. You know, we don't feel that joy. We feel just the pain. We see the situation in front of us, and we embrace that rather than see what the Lord is doing from his perspective. Because really what he's trying to do is finish that work in each one of us to become mature and complete. You know, I'm often critical of that. I've been, like everybody else, I've been focused on the things that aren't happening or the things that you go through. And when we do that, we allow the enemy access. Martin Luther King said this: "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." I don't think you could say it any better than that. You know, there's a grounding, there's a position that we need to get into. You know, Moses was a great example of that. After this occurred with the rock and there was a victory there, immediately Lord told him to set out through this narrow path. But the first thing that happened in verse 8 is the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. So immediately the enemy was standing in the way, because he realized that they were going to something far greater. He knew that he needed to block this. He needed to impede their progress. And if you look at that word Amalekite, of course, he was the son of Eliphaz, the concubine of Timnah, and the grandson of Esau. And we know Esau from all the stories. He came out before Jacob. His whole purpose was to impede that inheritance and to stop it. If you look at the root words of that, it means dweller in the valley. It means be deep, make deep, be profound. The verb means to sink down. There's a depth. know, a lot of the scriptures refer to judgment. In Isaiah 29:15, it says, "Woe on those who deeply hide their plans from Yahweh and do their deeds in the dark, as God does not see or know." I mean, God knows the enemy's there. And often we don't see the things coming because our spiritual eyes aren't open. Often as we travel through that valley, we don't see it. You know, Genesis 14 says, "Going down also speaks of a spiritual degradation." In Numbers, there's a bitter reminder to the sinning and rebellious Israel that at the time the Amalekites and Canaanites were living in those valleys, they enjoyed the produce of the land. It was in those valleys of Canaan that the agriculture was maintained, and it's in those valleys where the chariots could be used to the best advantage. The enemy had a foothold in those valleys. Much like our lives, if we really look at some of the things that we're going through, the enemy has been there impeding us from getting those breakthroughs and getting those things that we've been craving so long in prayer with the Lord. But this is a season unlike others. This is a season where the Lord's saying, "I want you to come up here. I'm going to show you victory." And that is really the breakthrough that's coming. It's interesting when you look at Rephidim, the word in Hebrew, it means the hands become weak. So at their weakest point, as they left there, the enemy was standing right there to take advantage of it. This really speaks of a deep spiritual journey that each one of us has to take through that valley, where we're most vulnerable, we're at our weakest. But yet that's where the Lord is strongest. When we're at our weakest and we just submit it to him, then he gives us the victory. It's a place where the adversary is always standing in the gap to prevent us from reaching that Mount Sinai, just as he was the Israelites. You know, he doesn't want us to reach that elevated place of authority and understanding and revelation. That's really where we need to focus on 2018, is learn to exercise our heavenly authority through our weakness. You know, God gave them victory. In verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Come, some of the men, and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." There was the government of God given, and the victory was already given. It just had to be walked out. Just like us, we need to get in that position. We need to understand exactly what it is the Lord wants us to do, and those victories will come. We need to get to that higher ground just as Moses did. You know, the enemy wants to keep us down in the valley. What was the most famous thing that Goliath said? "Give me a man to fight." Why did he say that? Because he wanted them to come down on his turf and fight on his terms. When David came onto that battlefield, he didn't come as just a warrior with a sword in his hand. He came with the army of God. He came with victory. He came with the angelic host, and victory was achieved. Much the same as us. There are things that the Lord wants to do with each one of us, and it's just a matter of us pressing in this year and allowing the Lord to reveal those things. Those gates, those doors that we hear about, talked about all the time, are there. But the enemy is standing in that door or gate. We need to understand specifically what it is. And as Wade talked about earlier, all the things that we need to do, they may be deep in that valley, but the Lord will highlight them. And once he does, we can repent for him, we can pray for him, we can get deliverance, and we can move through that doorway and that gate. You know, on the top of that hill was a place of union where Yahweh and man were one. Heaven and earth were connected. And as long as Moses was in proper alignment, Yahweh overshadowed that battlefield, and victory was achieved. I mean, it's a great message for us. You know, the Lord said to Moses after that, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Again, he was passing it along to a future generation. That's a whole other road. But the point is, God's word carries from generation to generation. He said, I will completely blot out the name of Amalekite from under heaven. And Moses built an altar there and called it, the Lord is my banner. Of course, we know that as Jehovah Nissi, because his hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So really the question for us, I'm just going to, you know, start to pull this together is, you know, when we know the Lord gives us victory against that, the Amalekites and those that are standing in our gates, why are we still struggling sometimes staying in that valley, in that battle, when the Lord is telling us to come up higher? I am will fight the battle. Now that there's much to say about all this, but I'm going to wrap it up with a couple little things. And, you know, as Wade mentioned earlier, Cindy Jacobs mentioned the Isaiah 19 highway. I think it is key for us in this season. You know, what is it God wants us to accomplish this year? What is it that we're supposed to do to keep moving through in this process? Obviously, he's preparing the nations. He's shifting things all over. And there's a connection that we can see as the Lord starts to work through the people that are put in places of authority. But we also have a job to do, and it could be as simple as our families, our friends, but we need to start to give light and give direction to people according to the way God gives this revelation. I like this quote from Rabbi Winston. He said about the conflict of complaining and what the Israelites did. He says, thus, though only one God spoke and gave over his Torah, millions of Jews listened and received it, each one having the potential to interpret what he had heard in his own personal way. Therefore, when it was all said and done, there was a great likelihood that the Jewish people would leave Sinai with somewhere around 2.5 million versions of the Word of God. Now, that is not a good state of affairs for future generations of Jews. I mean, it's funny. That's a joke that always runs. If you ask three Jews, you're going to get three different opinions. But in reality, I think each of us have done that in our own way. Yet there is one saving grace in all of that, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ and in the revelation that brings us back to the center. That's why we have so many denominations and so many viewpoints on this and that. What we need to do is we need to focus on the one thing that each one of us need in this time going forward. And we need to get that direction. You know, it's critical for us, and I'll just leave you with a story. Nancy Cohen shared a testimony of a prophecy that was given to a man who was sitting right in front of her. This man, it was told to him that he would go into all the outer parts of the world to heal the sick, cast out the demons, and raise the dead, and change the world, bringing the gospel. Just like the Great Commission says, this man heard it, he received it, but something happened. He never engaged that destiny. He was unwilling to reverse and traverse and conquer that valley in the unknown. He was unwilling to face those Amalekites and carry Jehovah Nissi, the banner of Yahweh. He was unwilling to do what it takes to move into that next victory and that level of authority. But Nancy heard that word, and even though it was not for her, she grabbed a hold of it, and consequently she paid that price, and now the rest is history. She's a forerunner that has paved the way for many others, and she travels the world doing exactly those things that were told there. So I'm just going to leave us with a question and a challenge for each of us as we go forward in this season. Where do we fit in that equation? Are we still trying to fight those battles in the valley? Or are we ready to climb that hill and take on that greater role in the kingdom? You know, the Lord is just calling each one of us. I mean, we can hear a lot of teachings, a lot of words, but in the end, it's up to each one of us individually to seek him and to understand exactly where it is we need to plug in. He's got the answers. And thank God for that, because if it's left up to us, I know that I've done a lot of things myself, chasing things, and the Lord's really been trying to get me to focus, just as this message said. So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in this day, this hour, this season. Lord, we know that as you are rearranging and shaking things upon this earth, it is all for one thing, to reorganize it, to bring about the sons and daughters in a mature way, to be able to take on those positions, to be able to bring about your kingdom restoration upon this earth. Lord, we know that you're using this nation in a mighty way. And we certainly lift up those in leadership, our president and all the others, and we lift up everybody in the Republic as well that have paid the price, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you continue to pour out your blessing and revelation as we go forward in this time and season, Lord. Most of all, I just pray that in those quiet places that each one of us has, Lord, that you would just touch us in a new and fresh way, Lord, that we would be able to step into a newer revelation, Lord. Lord, that you would show us things from your perspective. And Lord, if there are old patterns and old things that we have done that have hindered us, or there's things within us deep that need to come to light, Lord, that you would reveal those to each one of us. And that we would be able to just embrace you, most of all, stay on that path, Lord, and enter those doors as your will and your plan has been laid out before us. Lord, we just praise you, we love you, and we honor you this evening. And we say all this, Jesus, in your holy, precious name. Amen.
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 Amen. Good word. I think everybody sees that we try to bring a balance, different perspectives, using different scriptures, what God leads us. It all ties in together every week. Sometimes we're absolutely amazed at what God does. Matter of fact, most of the time. But in that, we are going to make a slight shift as we go into this season. We are going to be teaching some out of Katie Sousa's book and some other books. We're going to continue to bring the word as God leads us in that direction, but we're going to make one person the primary focus per week. Sometimes it'll be Matt, sometimes it'll be John, sometimes it'll be me. I'll still do an open. It will not take as long on mine, or so the two secondary people will not spend as much time, but there'll be an opening person, a closing person, and then the meat of the message in the middle. To give you an opportunity to sink into maybe a little less, but more depth. We want everyone to grow and prosper as the Lord would have them to grow this year. We're going to be bringing in some guest speakers from amongst you and from outside. Some of them you'll know and recognize, some you won't, but you're going to be blessed. Our first opportunity will be coming up, will be February 12th. We'll be bringing in a speaker that's amongst you. And then we will be inviting different ones of you to participate each month. So that's going to be at least 12 that we're going to be asking this year to join us. We spend X amount of time. I mean, we spend quite a bit of time studying and much prayer as we possibly can. We're going to set aside some additional time for prayer and direction. This is a critical year. It's not that every year isn't, but this is a very critical year. Some of the men and women that we've quoted have had visitations to the Lord, but the Lord says he's coming soon. Now, I know that I would like to believe that that might be 50 years, it might be 100 years, it might be 1 year. I don't care. I just want to be right. And I want each and every one of you to be right, that God will find faith, his spirit, that we are walking in righteousness and holiness as unto the Lord, that he sees his son in each and every one of us. And yeah, and that we're fulfilling our destiny. This is a year of destiny. You know, we're a lot of people on this call are kind of age. I mean, we've got X amount of years. We got 5, 10, 15 years that we need to fulfill whatever God's going to do in our life. Some of it's going to be quick works. Some of it's going to be long works. Doesn't matter. It's just that we fulfill God's works within us. So we want to equip. We want to do more and more to equip. Matt has been very diligent in being involved in other prayer groups and study groups, seeking to go to a higher understanding level with the Lord. John continually prays and presses in, and I spend a lot of time. What we want to do is bring a more concise word, so it's not so much for you to have to chew on during the week, even though it's three different perspectives of a lot of the same thing. We're going to narrow down some of the focus and bring a hard-hitting, impactful word, not that we don't, but we're going to make it more so. So Matt and John and I have talked about it, and Matt, you know, we're not going to use as many recordings, even though some things are going to be recorded because you need to hear them from the original people. At the same time, we're going to expand. So we're going to open the call back up to more people in the Republic and outside the Republic to come in and join us. At one time, you know, we had hundreds and had 30, it's about 20 coordinators. 14 were regional coordinators. And they all had, most of them had groups. So we're going to be taking advantage of what God's doing and bringing more people on board and using a few more people, not a whole lot, but one a month at least. And we'll talk about that. We'll let them know a month in advance so they can see what God's saying. And I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, as a minister, and John and Matt will tell you, this happens. You study, you prepare, and then the day of it, God changes it. Because what you were doing was not what he wanted to bring. It was a good word, but it wasn't particularly what he wanted to say for that hour, or something's happened that needs to be discussed. So, like I said, we're going to deal with certain teachings, but we're also going to add. At the same time, we're going to make them a little bit more concise. I'm going to ask some folks that generally I do not call on as often for prayer, but I ask them to pray tonight. And then also we're going to be opening up a section for call-in or text-in for prayer situations to increase that area. So tonight I'm going to ask for three people to pray. Colleen, would you pray tonight for us and that whatever you received in wisdom from this, that God would impart it in us?
I received two things. And if it's all right, would it be all right if I pray a prayer? I had written a prayer this week for Governor Mason. And I would just like to pray that prayer for all of us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, you see all that is happening within us. It is written, we're fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. We humbly ask you for healing. Align our bodies. Remove all health issues. Let us dance like David danced. Satisfy us with long life and fill us to overflowing with joy. To you, Father, is all the glory. And I pray this in the beloved name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That included the prayer you were going to pray for him. That's very good. Very good. Thank you. Richard, would you pray for us tonight?
Okay.
You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever God puts on your heart.
I wanted to read something. My face is shining on you, beaming out peace that transcends understanding. You are surrounded by a sea of problems, but you're face to face with me, your peace. As long as you focus on me, you're safe. If you gaze too long at the myriad of problems around you, you will sink under the weight of your burdens. When you start to sink, simply call out, "Help me, Jesus. I will lift you up." The closer you live to me, the safer you are. Circumstances around you are undulating, and there are treacherous-looking waves in the distance. Fix your eyes on me, one who never changes. By the time those waves reach you, they will have shrunk to proportions of my design. I am always beside you, helping you face today's waves. The future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Stay close to me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gregory Johnson, would you pray for us, sir?
Heavenly Father, the holy authority of Yeshua, I thank you, Lord, that you are revealing that which has been hidden by the enemy for far too long. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation of things that we should not be doing, as well as the things that we should be doing in the name of Yeshua. And I thank you, Father, this will continue as your body gains knowledge of things that they are not aware of. We have a habit, Father, of unconscious incompetence. Then we get conscious incompetence. Then we got conscious competence, and then we got unconscious competence. We need to reach the fourth level, Lord, for your glory in the name of Yeshua, concerning the things that we do not know that we need to know. We need to see. We need to be revelated of. We need to be before you in repentance and prayer and doing all these things by your spirit and by your authority over the power of the snake, scorpions, Leviathan, and the devil himself in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, and praise you. Amen.
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 Connie,
amen.
Will you close us out tonight?
What'd you say?
Will you close us out in prayer tonight?
Oh, you did say my name. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these meetings. We thank you for what we're learning. And we thank you for repetition of certain things so we can get it in our head and think on it and do it and be praising you all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 John, anything you'd like to say before we close tonight?
I think I'm spent.
Yep, yep. Powerful, powerful stuff you brought. Matt, anything?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Sorry.
That's all right. Praise God. You know, I call on so many of you at different times. I'll be talking to a few of you this week. I thank you for your time. Be encouraged. I'll be asking a good part of you to take over some of the teaching over these next months, because I know God wants to use us all. I speak blessings over you and your households. I ask that the host of heaven encamp around everyone and give us rest. And as we get revelation knowledge from all the material that's out there, the YouTube videos, the printed material, the words of knowledge from pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, men and women that minister the Word of God, intercessors, that you'd be able to process it. And like I said, Kenneth Hagin used to have a saying. He says, be as smart as a cow. So that means you don't have to be real smart. He says, chew the hay and spit out the sticks. Anything that doesn't take root in you then, and God doesn't attest to you, then don't use it. But take what God gives you and chew it over and over again like a cow does. And let it find a place in you that can bring about healing and deliverance and salvation and the promises. To get to the promises, we've got to get past the sin. And we've got to let go, just like God had me let go something this weekend. Let go, let God, and be glorified through him, that he be glorified. Thank you all. I'm turning off the recording.